Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. I invite you to join me now as we listen together and read together the Word of God. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already come into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, not all messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." And when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, be with us and among us. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the wind to refresh and renew, convict, convert, and consecrate for our great good and for your greater glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In this time of social distancing and isolation, I have been trying to do all sorts of things to keep myself busy. I have watched on YouTube replays of the Masters golf tournament, especially the tournaments in 1986 and 2004, when Jack Nicklaus and Phil Mickelson both won, two of my favorite golfers. And this past weekend, I did something that I have never done before. I cleaned out the trunk of my car and vacuumed it. In the 12 years that I have owned this car, I have never introduced the trunk in the vacuum cleaner before. But mostly what I have done is I have been reading a lot. And I just finished a book that is entitled Faith Unraveled by Rachel Held Evans. It is the story of her faith journey, and I want to share with you a brief story that she writes about herself in this book. She says, "Once when I was small, my eczema flared up so badly that I could not sleep. I basically tossed and turned for hours, scratching my arms and my legs until they bled into my sheet. Every hour or so, I called my mother or my father, and they would come to me in rotations to put lotion on my body, and then to put clean, soft socks on my hands. Sometimes they prayed with me, sometimes they held me, sometimes they stroked my hair as I cried into my pillow. At one point in the night, after my father had finished one of his rotations and was about to leave me, I asked him, 'Why did God let this happen to me? Why didn't God take away my eczema from me?' My father, who had committed his life to Christian education, who could read the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek, who had a bookshelf full of Bible commentaries and a wall full of diplomas, who delivered beautiful sermons and eloquent speeches, stood at my door with tears in his eyes. 'I don't know,' he said to me after he had cleared his throat, 'but I do know that God loves you.' This week, we are dealing not with a bout of eczema, but we are facing what many are calling the hardest, saddest week of the coronavirus crisis. And I don't come here tonight with any answers for you in terms of sickness, suffering, death, and loss. But like Rachel's father, I do proclaim this day to us an assurance of God's love for you, for me, and for our world. Today is Holy Thursday, and the message and focus of this day is on love. God's love for us and our love for one another. Holy Thursday is the night before Jesus died. It is the day when Jesus will be betrayed by Judas, his friend and his disciple. It is the day when he will be deserted by the rest of the disciples and arrested. It is the day when Peter will deny him in the courtyard. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, the focus of the night is mostly on communion. Jesus introduces the Lord's Supper to the disciples and tells them to have this meal in remembrance of me. Also in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see Jesus in the garden after the supper, in agony, troubled in spirit about the death that awaited him. But the Gospel of John tells the story of Holy Thursday a little differently. Jesus does have a meal with the disciples, but he does not focus on the bread and the cup, his body or blood. In John's gospel, Jesus is also aware about what is about to happen to him, about the time that has come for him to depart and go and be with the Father. But he does not seem concerned, worried, or troubled about his upcoming death. Chapter 13 in the Gospel of John is the beginning of Jesus' final discourse with his disciples, his farewell message to them. And the first bullet point of this farewell address is about love. John writes these beautiful words at the beginning of the chapter. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus does a lot of surprising things throughout his ministry, which we have highlighted in these weeks of Lent. He has given sight to the blind and raised Lazarus from the dead. And now he does a surprising thing on Holy Thursday at the supper. He gets up from the table, wraps a towel around himself, pours water into a basin, and begins to wash the feet of the disciples, even Judas, the one he knows is about to betray him. He does something that is usually done by servants. And as the commentaries say, this act of hearing about the act that marks this night does not communicate fully the depth of what Jesus does. The humility of bending, touching, smelling through it all, the intimacy of holding in his hands barefoot after barefoot, with all the smells, fungus, corns, calluses, discolored toenails, as it were, the most precious treasure. It is in the washing that Jesus chooses to empty himself rather than promote himself. Few of us want to be that vulnerable, to be that known by Jesus or anyone else. In this act of washing feet, Jesus is basically saying, I know you as you are, and I love you. He is saying, I want to be in relationship with you because you are precious to me. I am your Lord and teacher, but I am accessible to you. I am here for you to cleanse you, to lift you up, to give you life. The love of God is steadfast and knows no end. Nothing can separate us from it. Not life or death or eczema or coronavirus, not betrayal or desertion. Today, by washing feet, Jesus shows us his love, and then he commands us to love one another as he loves us. Our challenge this day is to accept God's love for ourselves. And then, in the words of Bishop Will Willimon, to love anyone and everyone whom Christ drags through our doors. There is an old story about a fugitive trying to escape from the enemy, who comes into a village. And the villagers are nice to him and give him a place to stay. But when the soldiers who are looking for him show up at the village, the villagers become fearful. And the soldiers threaten to burn the village and kill every person in it, and yes, unless the young man was handed over to them before dawn. And so the villagers go to the rabbi and ask him what they should do. Torn between turning the young man over to the enemy or risking the lives of every person in the village, the rabbi goes into his room and opens up the Bible, hoping to find an answer before dawn. And in the early morning, his eyes fall on these words, "It is better for one man to die than that the whole people be lost." And so the rabbi closes up the Bible, and he goes to the soldiers and tells them where the young man is staying. And after the soldiers take the young man away to kill him, the villagers have a feast and a celebration because the rabbi had saved all of their lives. But the rabbi does not join the celebration. Deeply saddened by all that has taken place, he stays in his room. And that night, an angel appears to him and says, "What have you done?" "I have handed over the young man to the soldiers," the rabbi replies. "Did you not know that you have handed over the Messiah?" the angel says. "How could I know?" the rabbi replied anxiously. "Well," the angel said, "if you had closed up your Bible and gone and visited the young man and looked into his eyes, you would have known." Henry Nouwen tells the story, and then he says, "Are we not challenged in daily life to look deeper into the eyes of the people we encounter and to see in them the eyes of God? Perhaps just knowing that others, too, are the beloved children of God will be enough to prevent us from handing them over to the enemy." He goes on to say, "Are we not also challenged to look at the way that God sees us? Beloved, affirmed, accepted, worthy of salvation. Are we, like the fugitive, reflections of the Messiah?" Earlier this week, I looked up and noticed the big, bright, full moon. And there is also a house in my neighborhood with their Christmas lights that are shining bright in their yard at night. And both things remind me of God's light and God's love shining in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. I am finding new ways to reach out to people, having more meaningful, grateful conversations with family, with friends, with neighbors, with strangers. I grieve not seeing everyone here at church, not being able to take communion, sharing in a Wednesday night meal. But in the words of a familiar United Methodist prayer, Jesus knows our griefs. He died our death. He rose for our sake. And he lives and prays for us always. For the one constant thing that knows no end in this ever-changing world is God's love. God's love for us and our love for each other. Both are our challenge and our assurance this day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.